right, I think we're going to go ahead and get started. It's 1:30. All right, we'll go ahead and stand up for our prayer. Please, thank you, sir.
Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it pleases you that we dwell in unity. God, you said in your word that we lack wisdom to ask that God should give it to us liberally. Give these commissioners wisdom to make the right decision, wise decision. God, be with our county, Lord, and let it prosper, Father. So we just commit this meeting and this time to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we're gonna. If it's okay with everybody on the court, for sure, we're gonna actually move a couple items up above the public comment stage because our Connie with our purchasing, she has to get to a meeting at 2:00, so we're gonna let her do her agenda items first, and then we'll go to the regular schedule of events so that we can cover it. But we need to let her get to. She's got some important stuff she's got to get to for the county, and we want to make sure that she's able to make that. So we're going to go ahead and start with item number 12 on the agenda. Is that okay with everybody?
Yeah,
that's fine. Okay. All right, and that is discussion and possible action regarding exit inventory for Dean T. Crooks, Orange County Judge Connie Cassidy.
Yes, sir. Do you all have a copy of the exit inventory? Everything is located, and it has a signature.
Okay, so we're all good there. Motion.
I make a motion. We accept her.
We have a motion.
A second.
Second. Four. Commissioner one.
Aye.
Two.
Aye.
Three. Aye. Four.
Aye.
Motion passes 4-0. Item 13, discussion and possible action regarding exit inventory for Chris Humble, Constable Precinct 1, Connie Cassidy again.
Yes, sir. We have a copy of the signed exit inventory. Everything is located.
All right, thank you. Motion by one.
Second.
Second by two. Mr. One.
Aye.
Two.
Aye.
Three. Aye. Four.
Aye.
Motion passes 4-0. Item 14, discussion and possible action regarding the transfer for the following item. Asset 18784, a Scotsman ice maker from maintenance to surplus. Connie Cassidy again.
This will actually go to surplus and eventually be sold in auction.
Next auction.
All right. Motion.
Motion by four, second. I'll make a second. Three. Commissioner one.
Aye.
Two.
Aye.
Three. Aye. Four.
Aye.
Motion passes 4-0. And then item 15, discussion and possible action regarding the deletion of the following item. Asset number 18901, 2017 Ford Expedition from the Sheriff's Office to delete. Connie.
And actually, this was in an accident, and the tax insurance paid us and picked it up.
Okay.
Total. So moved.
Motion by one, second by two. Commissioner one.
Yeah.
Two. Two.
Oh,
it's aye. Three. Aye. Four.
Aye.
Motion passes 4-0. All right. Thank you, Ms. Connie.
Thank you.
I appreciate y'all letting us get that so she can.
You want to tell them why we did that? She's going to the bid opening for the courthouse?
Yeah, she's going to the bid opening for the courthouse project so we can get that moving. And so that's at 2 o'clock, and we want to make sure that she gets there on time.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go for it, girl.
Yeah, we don't want her to be late for that one, for sure. Something about Easter eggs on the scaffolding, if I remember right, Ms. Speech. Right. All right, so now we'll go back to item number one, which is open court session for comments from court and citizens on items which may or may not need to be placed on the following week's agenda for consideration. Each person addressing the court may be limited to 3 minutes. Yep, that's you. You're up.
Good afternoon. My name is Crispin Walker. I'm here from the District Attorney's Office, and I'm here to tell you that April is Child Abuse Prevention Month. The district attorney's office, in preparation for Child Abuse Prevention Month, started a shoe drive. We were trying to collect 211 pair of shoes to represent each child who died in Texas last year as a result of child abuse or neglect. So we started that project with 2 weeks out or so before April, and we were overwhelmed by our community's response. We exceeded our goal of 211 pair of shoes thanks to this community, and now we're collecting clothes and wipies. So anyway, basically what we're going to do is, and I'm here to invite you to April the 5th. Friday, April the 5th is Go Blue Day. It's a national event, and everybody is invited to the front of the courthouse at noon. We ask you to wear blue in awareness of Child Abuse Prevention Month, and we will have links for lunch. And this is really kind of turning into a thank you to this community for the overwhelming support for this shoe drive. But we are going to display the 211 pair of shoes plus. But we invite you to be there for that special day and wear your blue. And then the shoes that have been donated and all the other items that have been donated by this community will be given to the Rainbow Room, CPS's Rainbow Room. So first of all, thank you to everyone for the support, and we invite you Friday, April the 5th at noon for Go Blue Day in front of the courthouse.
Kristen, I
yes.
just have one question.
Yes, ma'am.
I have four pairs of shoes.
Yes, ma'am.
Is it too late to turn them in?
No, ma'am. I know that a lot of people, we had no idea that we would, I mean, we allotted ourselves 2 weeks. We didn't think we could make 211 pair in 2 weeks. And we essentially came up with 211. This community donated more than that in probably 3 days. So that's why we switched to, we've asked the Rainbow Room what their next need was, which was baby wipes and new clothes, toddler sets, 2T to 5T. And so no, please, if you purchase shoes,
I'll bring them by after court.
Bring them by. We are happy to take them.
Well, I was going to say, because my wife went and got some to bring to you today,
well,
and they won't fit me, so you're getting them.
Great. Well, maybe they'll fit me. No, we appreciate very much, and I know that we all the pairs of shoes that were donated will be used by the children of this community. So thank
you
so much.
And that's an excellent effort. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking it on.
Anybody else? You look like you're ready. Are you? Okay. All right. That's good. Nobody else? Commissioner Trahan.
It's good to see everybody here from CASA and the court, Mandy. And Kevin, good to see you here. As former president of CASA, I can tell you the need is great. And if you follow the news lately, you know that it's not getting any better. And so I just thank all those folks that participate in that and do what they can to help protect the children of our area. And there's so many different organizations, so many different people, I won't even try to name them all. But thank all of y'all for all you do to protect our children.
I just want to say, as a former educator, I'm very aware of children that are abused. And it's beyond terrible. We've had 2 children die in Orange County since January. And that is totally inexcusable. There are people out there that would love those children, take care of those children, if the courts can get permission to get them out of those homes. And they try. But I don't know what happens, but that's the way it is. And these children are helpless. Helpless is all I can say. So I thank everything that you all are doing for these children.
I agree with
you. Yes, that's fine. We're going to do the proclamations the next item up, and then we'll do that then. And you can actually speak before then if you want to. We'll do that. Okay.
I agree with everything that said, as usual. We got a lot of business to take care of, and y'all didn't come here to listen to me talk, so let's move on down the line.
Well, he's more gracious than me. I'm going to say something. No, mainly is that number one is, again, thank you. Thanks, everybody, for being here. But also, just a couple of updates, because it's one of the things that I'm excited about. But, the energy project in Bridge City, which is to help Tyler Estates and the drainage and all that over there, was completed by a cooperative effort between our road and bridge crew. Clark, thank you for organizing that, and the Drainage District of Orange, and Energy for their cooperation with letting us go in and out of those entrances and scheduling that with us, because that project is complete now. I went and looked at it this morning. It looks really, really good. I really don't want it to rain to find out if it's going to work. But at some point, we know it will, and I'm excited about getting that project complete. That's been a long time coming, and thanks to Commissioner Trahan for helping me with the energy piece of that and getting us that cooperation, because it was essential that we did that. Also, I would just like to say real briefly, though, as we move through court today, there is, as everybody knows, there's a lot of tough decisions that are having to be made by this court. Just I hope everybody keeps a very open mind. We're in a tough spot. We're going to survive it. We have no choice but to survive it. We're going to move forward, and we're going to push this county forward. We have no choice but to do that. The decisions that are made are not easy ones, I will tell you. There's been a lot of loss of sleep by a lot of folks. But we all know at the end of the day, we're trying to all do what we think is the very best thing for Orange County. And that's just it. I mean, there's no other reason for it. We were put in a position that we have to make some tough decisions, and we're going to make them. That's why we sit here. That's what y'all put us here for, and hopefully will keep us here for. But just be aware that we're doing our very best job to do the best job for you as we move forward to the day. So thank you for that. And with that, we will move on to item number two, discussion and possible action regarding the Orange County Commissioners Court issuing a proclamation declaring April 2019 as Child Abuse Awareness and Prevention Month in Orange County, Texas, and that was brought by me. So now, if you would like to come and speak before I read the proclamation, you can.
Thank you. My name is Cody Vasquez. I'm the Executive Director of CASA, the Sabine HS Region. So when a child is placed in the foster care system due to abuse or neglect, they're often removed from their home and placed in state care. Sometimes this is really far away from their family and the community and all of their loved ones, really. CASA volunteers are court-appointed special advocates. They're everyday people from all walks of life who are recruited and specially trained to advocate for the children's best needs in court. These adults provide a reliable and constant adult presence during a very difficult time in their lives. CASA volunteers are assigned to one child or a sibling group to advocate for the best interest in court, also in school and in other settings. They get to know the child, everyone involved in their life, such as their family members, foster parents, therapists, teachers, in order to develop a realistic picture of what the child's situation is. They make recommendations to the judge overseeing the child's case with the goal of ensuring the child is safe and has the resources needed to heal. Many of our Orange County cases take place in Mandy White Rogers' court, and she is also very encouraging to our CASA. She wants to hear what they have to say. She believes it's very important what they have to say and takes that into consideration when making her decisions. According to the Department of Family Protective Services, there were 280 victims of child abuse and neglect, and a total of 267 children in the child protection system in Orange County last year. Statewide, CASA movement is growing faster than ever. There's 71 programs in Texas, recruited 10,856 CASA volunteers to advocate for 30,136 children across the state. Locally, CASA, the Sabine HS region, served 325 of the 715 children in the foster care system in Orange, Hardin, Jasper, Tyler, Newton, and Sabine counties. That was in 2018. This means there are still 390 children who need someone to speak up for them. This April, I would ask the community to consider stepping up to make a difference of these children by becoming a CASA volunteer. We would love to hear from you. We have training classes scheduled in Orange County and in Jasper County coming up in May. Also, we'll be having a vigil on April 2nd in front of the courthouse at 6 p.m. You'll notice through the month of April, our pinwheel garden will have 211 pinwheels, and these are the children that were lost across the state due to abuse and neglect last year. Three of those children were in our service area, two in Hardin County and one in Orange County. And as you know, we've already exceeded that number this year in Orange County. So I hope you will join us as we as a community remember those children that are lost and also renew our commitment to make a stand that it doesn't happen again. Thank you.
Wait, what time?
At 6 p.m.
You have someone else?
And I'm
going to
introduce Cassie Farrell, our program director.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having us today. I'm just going to share a poem that I wrote a year ago before our vigil that we held in Jasper. It's called Stand. Today is what we're given. No other day will do. Yesterday is already gone, and tomorrow has not yet followed through. These children stand here waiting, hopeless, anxious, scared, angry, but open for someone like you. To stand and bear their burdens, like Jesus' living word tells us to. They've almost given up. The pain, the fear, the sadness, the anger. It's just too much. You must hurry. Yesterday is already gone. Today is all we have. And tomorrow has not yet followed through. Be their voice. Stand in their place. Share your hope. Share your space. The world they've always known is no more. The normal they once knew has shattered all around them. That's it. It's almost over. They're giving up. You must hurry. They're falling fast to the ground. You must be there to catch them, to stand in their place, share your hope and love that saved you by grace. Yesterday is already gone. Today is now drawing to an end, and tomorrow is not promised. All children deserve our love each and every day, so you must stand in their place. Bear their burdens. Hold their hand when they're scared. Show them the way, the truth, the life that guides us, that saves us through each lonely, angry, happy, and joyful day. Take a stand. And I would like to introduce, just real briefly, Tammy Fenton, in regards to just a few steps on how to become a volunteer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was beautiful.
It was.
Real easy, and I always wondered what a CASA was until I started getting involved with them. A volunteer, you can go online on our website, casasnr.org, and you can fill out an application. There's an interview, and we have a background check. You have to be 21 years or older. We have classroom. You have 30 hours to do. Our next classroom on hands is May 4th at the CASA office. You also have court observation before you're being sworn in. Then you're sworn in, and you get assigned a case, and you get very attached to these children.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Anybody else? And then if not, then I'll read the proclamation. Is everybody good? Mandy, you want to? Mandy's always the one to talk. Now, what about you?
I'll just say, as a judge that hears these cases, first of all, with respect to the driver shoes, these kids come into care without anything. They come into care with the clothes on their backs, if that. I mean, half of them have already met or just have dressed. But in any event, so definitely keep the donations coming. There's a room at the CPS office called the Rainbow Room. And so anything that you donate will go to the Rainbow Room, and they will use those items. With respect to, just so you, if you don't know this already, if you're aware of a child being abused or neglected, under law you have a duty to report that. There's a toll-free number that you can call, 1-800-252-5400. That is the number that you would call to report abuse and neglect. It's not up to you to investigate it. All we want you to do is report it, because there's a lot more abuse that's going on that's getting reported. We have these cases coming in. Just outside of two removal centers of kids coming into care. So anyway, if you want to be a CASA volunteer, I really want to hear from you, or they want to hear from you to be a volunteer. But we really do rely on the CASA volunteers to make recommendations to the court. There's a lot more, they're a lot of times a lot more able to go out and visit the kids and the attorneys that are appointed to represent the kids. And they really do make a difference in court. So when we don't have enough volunteers, then the attorneys get appointed in that role. Sometimes they're the attorneys for the children, plus they're the CASA, or they're the guardian ad litem, which is what the CASA volunteers are. And they don't do as good of a job as CASA volunteers do. I'll tell you, the attorneys do not do because they don't have the time to get out there and go visit these children like the volunteers do. So we are really thankful for all the CASA volunteers, and I would encourage anybody that's willing and has time on their hands to do that. Judge David Dunn started this, the push to have CASA on all the CPS cases in, I believe, 2000, and it's really worked really well. So anyway, I'd encourage anyone to volunteer, and that's it.
All right. Thank you, Meade. All right, proclamation, Child Abuse Awareness and Prevention Month, April 2019. Whereas in federal fiscal year 2018, the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services confirmed 66,382 victims of child abuse or neglect, including 280 in Orange County. And whereas child abuse and neglect is a serious problem affecting every segment of our community, and finding solutions requires input and action from everyone in our community. And whereas our children are our most valuable resource and will shape the future of Texas. And whereas child abuse can have long-term psychological, emotional, and physical effects, they can have lifelong consequences for victims of the abuse. And whereas protective factors are conditions that reduce or eliminate risk and promote the social, emotional, and developmental well-being of children. And whereas effective child abuse prevention activities succeed because of the meaningful connections and partnerships created between child welfare, education, health, community, faith-based organizations, businesses, and law enforcement agencies. And whereas communities must make every effort to promote program and activities that benefit children and their families. Whereas we acknowledge that we must work together as a community to increase awareness about child abuse and contribute to promote the social and emotional well-being of children and families in a safe, stable, nurturing environment. And whereas prevention remains the best defense for our children and families, and whereas the impact of abuse and neglect has long-term personal, economic, and social costs, therefore hurting Texas's future. Whereas court-appointed special advocates, CASA volunteers, are assigned by the court to speak up for a child's best interest and be a voice for a child in the courts. And whereas every child in care deserved a CASA volunteer, but roughly less than half the children in care do not have a CASA volunteer. And whereas 10,424 CASA volunteers spoke up for the best interest of 29,747 children in Texas last year, and whereas CASA of the Sabine Neches Region, Child Protective Services, Child Advocacy Centers, foster parents, teachers, and others work to ensure that children in our community have the opportunity to grow up in safe and loving permanent homes.
So moved.
Motion by one, second by two. Commissioner one.
Aye.
Mr. two.
Aye.
Three, aye. Four.
Aye.
All right, motion passes. All right, so now, therefore, it be resolved that the Orange County Commissioners Court does hereby proclaim April 2019 to be National Child Abuse Prevention Month in the County of Orange, Texas, and urge all citizens to recognize this month by dedicating ourselves to the task of improving the quality of life for all children and families. Passed, approved, and adopted this 27th day of March 2019. So thank you. So we'll sign that up. And then if all those that would like to come up and take a picture, we would appreciate that.
Mandy, you too.
Yes, sir.
Can I get up? Come on, man.
Sir.
Come stand over here by you. Stand behind you, please.
Okay. Here, we'll give you the proclamation here in just a minute so you can hold
his
it.
His speech.
And then what we'll do is we'll get y'all a copy of this, or make a copy of it, and we'll keep it. All right, so if you'll just hold that out front there, and then we'll do the. Are we ready here? All right, salesman, you're all ready out there.
Three, two, one.
All right. Thank y'all so much. Always. Good to see you, buddy. Always. Yes, and then we'll get you a, where's my sport? We'll get you the copy. Okay, yeah, we'll get you the copy. Okay. Well, okay, you can, yeah. Y'all get the original. Just hand it to Lorraine here. Redhead lady, Lorraine, hand it to her, and she'll get you the copy. She needs to sign it first, though. I'm sorry. Brandy hadn't signed it yet? Okay, yeah, Brandy has to sign it. Yeah, we're gonna have another one. Like, we're gonna have another one. We've got two more actually. Thank you. All right, we'll move to item number 3, discussion and possible action regarding the Orange County Commissioner's Court issuing a proclamation declaring March 27, 2019, Jefferson Energy Company's Day in Orange County, Texas. Mr. Viator.
Proclamation, Jefferson Energy Company's Day. Whereas Orange County would like to recognize the partnership that has been formed between Jefferson Energy and Orange County, and whereas Orange County recognizes Jefferson Energy Companies has, with its Jefferson Terminal, directly created nearly 500 jobs, along with indirectly creating or strengthening hundreds of other jobs in Orange County in support of their operations. And whereas during 2014 through 2018, Jefferson Terminal has contributed close to $12 million in support of Orange County and other entities that serve our citizens. And whereas the commitment by Jefferson Energy to hire local and contract with businesses within the county helps create a corporate-friendly environment that guarantees a successful future for all. And whereas the management and employees of Jefferson Energy Companies have become involved in our community both professionally and personally, and whereas Orange County looks forward to a long and successful partnership with Jefferson Energy Company and their continued support of our local community.
Do y'all want to make some comments first, or any comments before we...
My name is Mark Viator, the Director of Government Affairs for Jefferson Energy. And the first thing I'd like to do is thank you for this, but I want to recognize a few people and then come back and recognize you again. The Port of Beaumont is a very, we lease property from the Port of Beaumont. All the assets that we've placed at the terminal have been on the Port of Beaumont's property. We have what I would call a classic public-private partnership with the Port of Beaumont. And today we have here Chris Fisher, the CEO and director of the Port of Beaumont, and Sade Chick, she's a manager of public affairs for the Port of Beaumont. I'd like Chris to say a word, then I'll come back and it's so significant what we're doing with them and the benefit we both receive.
Thank you very much, Mark. Commission, we certainly appreciate the opportunity to come here today. And I really want to thank y'all for your support and this proclamation recognizing Jefferson Energy. We, too, at Port Beaumont are very proud of our partnership with Jefferson Energy. And it really is a model of what a public-private partnership looks like and how we can encourage private investment in our area. The Port of Beaumont started developing of this property we've spent about $60 million with basic infrastructure, and we are so proud of what Jefferson has done with that and built upon that and all that they have developed now, a state-of-the-art facility that we can all be proud of. Port of Beaumont's very excited about all our opportunities that we have in Orange County, and most all of them are related to our partnership with Jefferson. So we thank y'all for that. And actually, part of our latest investment is a new overpass, and we opened that this morning. And so it was very timely, because we want to set up something where we invite, in conjunction with Jefferson, and invite Commissioner's Court over and take y'all over the overpass and view the most recent improvements that Jefferson has done. We'll be sending something out to y'all shortly. We'll work with Mark on that. But it has been a great partnership with Orange County. We appreciate what y'all have done. We actually widened Highway 90 from the over, and that was a project that Orange County let us do. And it worked out very well, because we were partnered with TxDOT, and it, and really no cost to Orange County, but it's a good safety thing, yes, as well for the residents that live in that area that are going down Old 90. So I see it's just a lot of positives, and we appreciate everything in your partnership, Mr. Commissioner's Court, and just thank y'all very much for your recognition of a fine partner for all of us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. Secondly, I'd like to recognize Judge Thibodeau and the Commissioner's Court that was there in 2014. Judge Thibodeau? Because without that $250 million abatement, he believed in us. We wouldn't have had the opportunity. Before we had that abatement, we had to do an interjurisdictional agreement with Jefferson County and Orange County to be able to spend the first $45 to $55 million. And we went to him, and he was so supportive. And so thank you, Judge Thibodeau. I really appreciate that. And then, Commissioner's Court, you gave us an additional $150 million tax abatement. But even more, I mean, even not only with your support, the support of all of Orange County has been here, from the other cities, whether it's Bridge City, Pinehurst, Orange. The others have supported us through this whole process, and we're grateful to the community leaders. We're grateful to our contractors. Our contractors in Orange County have received over $268 million in revenue just here. You know, to contractors, we've employed about 488 people, and 188 of that being full-time. And so it's truly an honor, and I want to thank you for not only your support, but this recognition today.
I just wanted to say to you, I want to thank you for being in Orange County and for continuing to grow here, because that's what you are doing. And thank you for sharing y'all successes with us, so that Orange County citizens know that Jefferson Energy is there and they're working with Orange County.
Mr. Viator, last time you were in this court, you asked a question of this commissioner's court. Paraphrasing, is this court business friendly? I think I can't speak for the other commissioners, but I believe that with a resounding yes, we are.
Yes, sir, I believe you are. Thank you.
I just wanted to answer that, because you asked it twice, and I don't think I heard an answer. So I just wanted to make that clear.
Thank you.
Let me make a comment. I appreciate you, the effort y'all have made to hire local and use local businesses in support of your company. That means a lot. That means those dollars keep rolling through Orange County, and that's how economic development works. So I appreciate y'all's efforts on that. Thank
you. Yeah, and without duplication, but yeah, again, thank you. Thank all everybody that, you know, the Port of Beaumont, thank y'all for coming over. This is an important step in keeping Orange County growing. And, you know, I think I said it one of the court, I can't even remember which one, but I was there whenever they did the first shovel of dirt, when they turned over the first dirt, and it was just a pasture out there in a marshy area. And to go out there today and see what's happened out there today is impressive. And we are glad to have it in Orange County, and welcome it every chance we get, and hope to see lots of future growth in that same area. So thank you.
I'd like to make one last statement. The question has come up many times in the last few months about whether tax abatement is important, whether it has an effect or is effective in creating jobs and allowing companies to expand. I want to say with a resounding yes, I know how important it is to Jefferson Energy to be able to invest millions of dollars And our whole purpose is to try to, as quickly as we can, get a return on that investment. Property taxes are very high any place in Texas, and they're a lion's share of our budget. And to be able to have some of those taxes abated, give us the opportunity to get up on our feet and make a return on that investment is critical. And I want to continue to thank you and ask you to continue to support tax abatement, because I think it will help you grow your county.
Thank you.
Sir.
All right.
You got to read the bottom one.
Not until this motion is made. Okay. We need a motion now.
I would like to make a motion to pass the proclamation for Jefferson Energy Company Day.
Motion by four, seconded by two. Mr. One.
Aye.
Two.
Aye.
Three. Aye. Four.
Aye.
Motion passes 4-0, and now I'll read the rest of it. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Commissioners Court of Orange County, Texas, does hereby proclaim March 27th, 2019, as Jefferson Energy Company's Day in Orange County, Texas, and does hereby encourage its observance by all citizens of the county. Mark, I'm assuming you're going to want to get a picture. We'll get everybody up here to do that one, too. Yes.
Sure.
And then once we're done with all the signatures, once you go out, you'll hand that to that lovely lady right out there outside the door, and she'll get you your copy of that, so we'll have it. Yeah, buddy, why didn't you talk? What the heck?
Good. Because she's a lot prettier than Mark. Somebody's ringing. Oh, it's me.
What do you mean?
It's me.
I'm looking
at him. I'm standing in front of the lady commissioner because I'll block her off.
The lady commissioner doesn't mind.
They won't see me.
All right, we'll move on to item number four. Discussion and possible action to approve payroll for pay period ending March 24th, 2019, including all supporting payroll liabilities and garnishment orders. Ms. Corey. We're all good? Pay everybody?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by one, second by four. Commissioner One.
Aye.
Two.
Aye.
Three. Aye. Four.
Aye.
Motion passes 4-0. Thank you, Christy. Item number five, discussion and possible action regarding approval of the monthly reports from the county treasurer for month ending February 28, 2019, and recording in the minutes of the court. A, approval of investments in the amount of $10,131,767.40, approval of interest earned to date in the amount of $102,197.16, treasurer's report of revenue received and disbursed in accordance with the local government code 114.026D, an affidavit of approval by the court. This report will be available in the county's website for viewing. Pledged security collateral for a total of $93,366,661.13. Summary as follows. Wells Fargo Bank, $82,954,581.23. First Financial Bank, $10,412,079.90. Any addition? Okay.
All right. We accept the report.
I second.
A motion by one, second by two. Commissioner one.
Aye.
Two.
Aye.
Three. Aye. Four.
Aye.
Aye. All right, motion passes 4-0. It almost seems appropriate when we're kind of waiting until they say, how about them Cowboys or something like that, is it? But it's not football season, so. But we can still say it, right?
Well, in Johnny's honor, we'll just say Giggle Maggies.
In Johnny's honor, we'll say Giggle Maggies.
Go Tigers.
They're all coming out now. They're all coming out. We're in March Madness. We are in March Madness.
Who's not part of March Madness, John? How are those three teams you
mentioned doing in March Madness? We're not discussing that.
who the Aggies playing this weekend? Oh, wait. Never mind.
Did the Longhorns make the tournament?
Absolutely. The Longhorns made it. I don't know. All right. Move to item number six, discussion and possible action regarding payment of bills approved by the county auditor as per attested listings and also specifically as follows. $111,573 to Orange County Appraisal District from the General Fund 001-111-54110 for second quarter funding. B, $74,077.14 to United Healthcare Insurance Company from the General Fund for group for retirees insurance 65 of age or older for the month of March. And I think there actually is a correction on that. It's supposed to be for the month of April. Yes, for the month of April. I'm sorry. So there's a correction on that month of April.
And also for approval on March 27, 2019, from the general fund, $262,281.15. Roden Bridge, $123,734.90. Mosquito Control, $693.41. Adult Probation, $533.36. Airport, $1,973.03. And other funds, $33,499.95, for a total of $422,715.80.
Penny, what is considered in that other that was $19,000?
You have
$33,000. I'm sorry.
You have that in your detail if you want to go back and look at it.
Okay. In this.
Yes, ma'am.
I got you. I didn't get that. So I
didn't know. Mm-hmm. So moved.
All right, and that's with the correction to the month of April.
That's correct.
Second. Motion by one, second by two.
That's fine.
Motion, Commissioner one.
Aye.
Two.
Aye.
Three. Aye. Four.
Aye.
Motion passes 4-0. Item seven, discussion and possible action regarding a line item transfer. Sheriff's Office from 001-740-52111, Public Safety Supplies, $5,129 to 01-740-5999. Other, $5,129 to replenish line item Keith Merritt. Chair, sir.
Moving money around to make it work.
Okay.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by one, second by four. Commissioner one.
Aye.
Two.
Aye.
Three. Aye. Four.
Aye.
Motion passes 4-0. Discussion and possible action regarding a line item transfer, Justice of the Peace, Precinct 2, from 001-226-54130, Contracted Services and Maintenance, $1,600, to 001-226-59999, Other, $1,600, to pay for iTicket fees to Net Data. Mr. Jenkins, do you have any conversation around it? Or you run? That's right.
What this is Net Data charges $2 on every iTicket that we receive. And of course, we've been taking that out of our general budget right now. We got to need this, like the sheriff said, to make it work so we can continue to collect. When budget time comes about, my goal is to line item this with the auditor's office. She can show me how to do this. We don't have to ever do this again.
Okay,
for next year's budget.
So this will be the last
thing? No, ma'am. We're probably going to do it again. My office is doing anywhere from 120 to 200 tickets a week. So this has turned into more of a sum than we ever anticipated.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's why I need to get with Ms. Penny and sit down with her before budget time. But I'm sure I'll be back next month. But I'm going to get with her between now and then and get her to show me how to make it real work.
All right.
Okay.
Appreciate
it. Sounds like you're taking care of this.
We're trying to.
Appreciate the explanation. Thank you.
Motion.
Motion by four, second by one. Commissioner one.
Okay.
Two.
Aye.
Three. Aye. Four.
Aye.
Motion passes 4-0. Item number nine, discussion and possible action regarding a line item transfer for Justice of the Peace Precinct 4. From 064-244-5999, other, $200, to 064-244-54570, registration, seminars, and conferences of $200, purpose to pay registration fees for a legislative update class in July. Rodney Price, Justice of the Peace. Is anyone from Rodney's office here?
I do not think so.
Okay.
I did speak with Judge Price, and basically he said it was for continued education.
Okay.
But it wasn't budgeted?
No, but it's in his budget. He's just moving money around to pay for it.
That's all.
Yeah. Same with the other two issues. moving money around to accomplish what they need to accomplish.
It's about the time to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Commissioner Beecham, this is in their tech fund, and so you don't always know how they need to apportion it at the beginning of the year. So
right.
We normally put the majority of it into the other line item so that they can apportion it as they need.
I make a motion.
Go ahead. You're good.
I make a motion to accept these adjustments so that they can, the Justice of Peace Precinct 2.
Four.
What, have we already voted on Chad?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm four then. I'm sorry.
That's what you're fine. Go.
I
second it.
Get these bills paid.
Motion by two, seconded by four. Commissioner one.
Aye.
Two.
Aye.
Three. Aye. Four.
Aye.
Motion passes 4-0. Item 10, discussion and possible action on issuing a permit for Parkwood Land Company to restore the levee located north of Interstate 10 and east of the Neches River back to pre-Harvey conditions as detailed in the permit from the Corps of Engineers, including the removal of all material in violation with FEMA and floodplain standards and details contained on the county development permit. Mr. Viator.
Basically, I think Lisa's here. Lisa, were you here?
Yep.
You have anything you'd like to say? Basically, I've worked with Miss Lisa, Joel, and Mr. Stevenson, and I think we've been dealing with this. The county's been dealing with this issue 6 or 7 years.
Eight.
But I do believe we've worked some things out. I'm very optimistic that we're going to finally get to where we need to be. Mr. Stevenson has a levee he's needing to rebuild. He has worked with the Corps. Took him almost 7 months to get that permit. Bad year on rain has caused some other problems. But we've come to an agreement that I hope achieves his levy issues that he has and removes what the county sees as a violation of a basic flood elevation. And I see Ms. Lisa stepping forward, so I'm going to let her take over.
Let her run with it.
Commissioners, I did do a permit up, and which was sent to you so that you could review it. If there's anything that you see you don't like in it or that should be added to it, just let me know, and we will make those changes.
Just to update y'all a little bit from what last year's permit was, we detailed some things a little different. We identified some other areas of possible violations that Mr. Stevens has agreed to remedy. We also added at the end of the completion of the project that Mr. Stevenson will provide a signed off by an engineer certifying that the levee was restored to the Corps' permit and our violation was removed. I think it helps Mr. Stevenson, gives him some protection, and also adds another layer of protection for the county. It, other than that, does Mr. Stevenson have anything he'd like to say? So, but before I make the motion, I wish you the best of luck accomplishing your levy.
Let me ask a question.
Sure.
Who's paying for
this? Mr. Stevenson.
Mr. Stevenson.
That's what I thought.
I wish you the best of luck in accomplishing what you need to on your levy. But as we all know, this has been a long time trying to remove this violation. And I'm going to request in my motion that Mr. Stevenson come back within 6 months and give us a progress report, which I think that would be September. Because I really want to emphasize that my hope is by the end of this year, we have significant progress on this project, because I want to be, from my standpoint alone, I can't speak for the other commissioners, but without short of significant progress, we may have a totally different conversation next year. So let's pray for good weather and significant progress. And with that said, I'll make a motion we approve this permit as written by county employee.
Let me ask Denise, is that okay that we have that request in there, though, that requires him or at request of him to be here within 6 months to update that? Is that okay to put that as part of the motion?
You can certainly make the request.
Okay, so I just want to make sure that we're good with putting that as part of the motion.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we're good. So motion by four, second by one. All right, Commissioner one.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Two.
Aye.
Three. Aye. Four.
Aye.
Motion passes 4-0. Thank you for all your work on that. I know that you are trying to get there. Thank you for that. Item 11, discussion and possible action on approving the prioritization of CDBGDR Community Development Block Grants Disaster Recovery Infrastructure Buyout Projects as presented by the Advisory Committee, Mr. Ardoin. So I think Ms. Beward's going to actually talk about it.
Joel's in class.
Joel is in class learning.
I do have a copy for each of y'all if you'd like.
And Nancy, would you state, so we make sure we state
sure.
Your name?
Nancy Beward with Wendorf Beward and Partners.
Right, thank you.
Disaster consultant.
All right, thank you.
So would y'all like a copy?
Sure.
Kind of follow along so you don't have to memorize?
My phone's a little small.
Yeah, I can't unless I get my... Thank you. Yeah, she's one there too. So thank you. Yeah.
So thank you for having me. Kind of what I want to discuss is possible action on approving prioritization of projects that would be eligible for the Community Development Block Grant Disaster Recovery Program as administered by the GLO. These are HUD funds. We had a advisory committee meeting probably about a week and a half ago, where we kind of went through some possible projects that could be considered. Just as a brief background, I basically, in all of the discussions that we have had for the past year and a half with various people where we discussed possible projects that Orange County would be considered. I've kind of kept a working list, and that's what we started with when we were having the discussions about potential eligible projects. A little background, just to kind of get everybody all on the same page. The GLO conducted some workshops around the area early March. Several of us attended some of these workshops. There was some very good information distributed at that workshop. Kind of give you a sense of what we're talking about as far as potential funding that is available in Orange County. I'm going to kind of back up a little bit. Texas received about $5.7 billion. And it's sorry for me to use the acronym, but it's just easier than saying Community Development Block Grant, but CDBG-DR funding. Out of that, then, SETREP, Southeast Texas Regional Planning, got an allocation to distribute to the communities within their center. SETREP was allocated about $51.7 million for buyouts, acquisition activities, housing-related activities. Infrastructure and Economic Development was allocated about $105 million. To give you a sense, that was about 25% of the available funding. Orange County then received from that, in their method of distribution, about $4 million for buyout acquisition in Orange County. That represented about 7.8% of the allocation that SETREP had received. For infrastructure, they received about $10 million, almost $11 million in an allocation, which represented about 10.41% of SETREP's allocation. So really what we're talking about with Orange County overall is an allocation of about almost $15 million. It's $14,976,000 and some change, if you talk hundreds being changed. That represents about 9.56% of the total allocation from SETREP. The important thing to remember with HUD CDBG-DR funding is the LMI benefit requirements, because that's really going to have a major impact on a lot of these projects that go forward with the GLO. The LMI benefit requirements at this point in time of that almost $15 million is about $10,500,000.
And just so everybody understands, the LMI, that so we make sure we got the acronyms, is low to moderate income.
Yes, sorry.
Folks that qualify under a low to moderate income. Sorry about that.
It's all right. No, that's, I appreciate that. I try not to use the acronyms, but they slip out. Currently, right now, the state's action plan, there's an Amendment 3 that's out for public comment. Most of the Amendment 3 has to do with just clarifying some points having to do with Houston, Harris County, kind of just general amendment corrections. I will remind everyone, Orange County is one of 30 counties, and I say counties, it's counties, cities, and specific zip codes that is designated as the most impacted and distressed as a result of Hurricane Harvey. Basically, 80% of the HUD CDBG-DR funding was to be used in these counties, or in these areas.
So does it include
counties.
Houston?
Includes Houston. It includes an awful lot of counties all up and down the coast. The other thing that is important to remember is even the infrastructure projects must demonstrate how they will contribute to the long-term recovery of housing. So with these projects, even though they're infrastructure projects, we're going to have to show the benefit to housing. Eligible infrastructure projects consist of sewer projects, water projects, any other public utilities, street improvements, flood drainage improvements, debris removal, community centers and emergency shelters, fire protection and equipment, special authorized public facilities and improvements, public services, clearance and demolition activities, code enforcement, senior citizens, economic development, parks, playgrounds, and other recreational activities, and then the ever-present and any other CDBG-eligible activities, the catch-all. Projects, this is the other thing that's very important, projects must be completed in a six-year period. That six-year period started August 2018. So we're a year and a half already into that six-year period. The GLO is going to require 1 year for program closeout, which leaves about 4 years to get these projects approved, the grants awarded, and the projects completed. We have the initial deadline from the GLO to submit applications to them was July 31st. They recognize where we are in this project, and I say we, everybody. We have already requested an extension from the GLO, as they recommended, to extend that application deadline to August 31st. So that has already been submitted to them. That being said, I think we're all in agreement. We want to not come anywhere close to August 31st. The quicker we can get these applications in and get started on these projects, the better off we're going to be. As discussed earlier, 70% of the funds must be used in the low to moderate income areas. Low to moderate income areas, essentially 51% of the residents must have a low to moderate income, all based on census blocks information having to do with income of the residents. The GLO, according to the workshop we attended, the GLO is continuing to have dialogue with HUD and help develop options for the communities to achieve these LMI requirements. This is going to be very, very important. Some of the things, according to them, that they are trying to work on with HUD would be lowering the threshold of the 51% to a lower threshold based on an upper quartile exception. From everything we understand, that's probably one of the better options. They've also talked about a single LMI designation for a total impacted area versus the individual block grant areas. There's also some discussion about a proposal to set $72,000 for a family of four, which would be huge. That's a huge increase. And then finally, lenient or generous considerations of service area designations. This is particularly important when you're talking drainage, because when we're talking a drainage project, instead of doing a localized impact, perhaps we will be able to take the impacts based on a watershed or a basin level, which obviously brings more possibilities to help achieve that LMI requirement. The other thing that we were told about at the meeting was that the GLO anticipates another round of HUD CDBG-DR funding of approximately $4.3 billion for the state. This money, the eligible communities would include any disaster-impacted community or disaster-declared community in the 2015 floods, the 2016 floods, in addition to Harvey. So it's going to bring a lot more communities eligible for this funding. The money will be used for mitigation activities. The trick of that is at this point in time, HUD has never defined what mitigation is. So they're now going through a process of trying to identify what their definition of mitigation is. The GLO expects the HUD Federal Register to be out in May 2019. They will submit the state action plan they anticipate by September, which would hopefully then make the funding for the mitigation available to communities about November 2019. The trick with all of this funding obviously could be used to help with the FEMA match, the 25% cost share for the FEMA projects. Like we've talked about several times, the trick to all this is the timing of when FEMA approves our projects, when the HUD money is potentially available, when the applications are approved. This continues to be the million-dollar question. So the purpose of this, really, presentation or discussion, the advisory committee came up with or recommended three top priorities. Remember, we have about $11 million. With infrastructure. Unfortunately, $11 million doesn't go a long way for infrastructure, but there is $11 million. The number one item that was recommended by the advisor committee was roadside ditches. In working with Clark Roads and Bridges, basically what we identified is there's a gap. We have addressed with FEMA project worksheets or a FEMA hazard mitigation project improving drainage inside neighborhoods. We have a hazard mitigation project with FEMA under consideration for replacing about 43 tank car locations with box culverts to help improve drainage. What we have not addressed in the gap was there's some other roadside bar ditches that have not been considered for an H&H analysis to increase the capacity of those ditches. This would do them. Clark has identified about 15 roads that are subject to frequent flooding. The list of roads are like South Teal, Bilbo, Wade, Lawn Oak, Saxton, Stallion. There's, like I said, 15 of them. Three of these roads are technically classified as FHWA, Federal Highway roads. We're going to have to work with the GLO and see if those would even be eligible to include in this potential HUD CDBG program. The second project that was identified and a lot of discussions was the potential for expansion of the Orange County Convention and Expo Center. Some of the things that was discussed was expanding the building to allow for storage for equipment and materials during disasters. Expand the parking lot. During a lot of these disasters, the parking is not adequate and people were having to park. It was also used as a shelter of last resort. People were having to park and everything in the grass, other areas. Potential to look at being able to construct a helipad on the vacant land.
As opposed to landing out there in the middle of 1442.
Yes, sir. And then trying to get those people from 1442 to the Expo Center.
Those people still want to know what that big orange X is for. Months after.
And potentially construct a covered area so during inclement weather when all this is going on, bringing the materials in and out of the building, there's a covered area that would be tall enough for obviously a large truck to be able to get in and then safely unload these things. The last item or the last project that the group considered high priority would be the potential to relocate, or let me just rephrase, to do some work to the existing roads and bridges maintenance shops. Precincts 3 and 4, potentially relocate them to a less flood-prone area. Also construct covered areas for the precinct yards. As everybody knows, they now have the ability to do sandbagging and everything to help the residents, provide sandbags to residents during flooding events. This needs a cover area to keep the materials and the staff and, quite frankly, probably people dry when they're coming to get some of these the sandbags and other material. And then finally, depending on which precinct yards are either relocated, establishing some new water wells for the precinct yards. The water is
bad.
Well, I was going to say could be improved. Okay.
It's bad.
Just so y'all do know, other projects were considered and discussed in a lot of detail. Some of that was other projects that was considered to acquire right-of-way and potentially construct roadways to provide alternate access to some neighborhoods that only have a single access point in or out of a neighborhood. Development of detention pond in Claiborne West Park, development of another detention pond in Precinct 1 to help with flooding, construct a new community center out of the special flood hazard zone that it is currently in. We talked about bank stabilization potentially for Old Highway 90. That would be another one that we'd have to really look at hard to see if it's eligible for funding. Some of the last three projects, four projects that were there, may or may not, the committee discussed, may or not even be needed. Discussion of a mitigation, establishing a mitigation banking program, upgrade sewer facilities. I can tell you upgrading sewer facilities or anything with sewer, that's a difficult project to do, especially in the timeline we're talking about. Expanding evacuation routes and providing electronic signage under to be put around the county to help residents know a good evacuation route and what the hazard is going on. The last program that the committee recommended highly to spend the $4 million that's for the buyout of the elevation program would be the HUD CDBG buyout elevation program. There are quite a few people who either now want to participate in a buyout program, were not eligible or qualified for this FEMA program, potentially they would qualify for the HUD program. And then last, just the kind of things that are going to happen in the near future that we would recognize is that at some point in time coming back to this court and considering identifying county personnel who would be authorized to act on behalf of the court as we're going through some of these applications and submitting them, that would include identifying a labor standards officer that's going to be required during this program. And the other one would be an individual to approve the environmental review of the documents that have to occur. Environmental review of applications with CDBG is very, very important. So with that.
Okay, I have Nancy, it won't take but just a second. I do want to talk to you afterwards.
Okay.
And what I want to talk to you about is precinct, I have no office.
Yes, ma'am.
I have no commissioner's office. And it is, it's imperative that I do. And it's also going to serve as a sheriff.
Substation.
Yes. It's come, there's nothing been done. And other than the walls ripped out. And they say they can't go any further until they get money because we have insurance money.
Right.
But that it's got to be raised.
Elevated, yes, ma'am.
Elevated. And we can't do anything else until it's in. Well, I'm worried I'll be out of office before they're finished.
Maybe that needs to be a agenda item next week and we can have Kurt address us to see.
I think we need to, but I want to talk to you too.
Yes, ma'am.
So that I know what I'm talking about.
Yes, ma'am.
I thank you.
Not a problem. Okay. Any other questions?
No. Thanks for the update.
Yeah.
Where we're at. I know there's a lot of money that's out there that's available. And I know we're trying to get our applications in so that we can qualify for some of it because that's the main thing. I'm just ready for them to start awarding some of it so we can start doing it.
So with HUD CDBG, we do have a meeting hopefully next week scheduled with the GLO. Based on y'all's decision today, we will start putting together the draft of applications. So as we sit with the GLO, we can talk about specifics to those applications. So we could hopefully get them submitted as soon as possible. It's going to be just based on what y'all's recommendation is, which applications you would like to start working on.
Since I was involved in prioritizing these projects, I move to go ahead and accept the priority list.
Your office doesn't have anything to do with HUD CDBGDR.
Okay.
It's not even eligible for HUD CDBGDR funding.
Okay. That's fine. I just want one.
Yes, ma'am.
I've been in office 3 months now.
So we have a motion by Warren.
Second.
Second by Four. Commissioner One.
Aye.
Two.
Aye.
Three. Aye. Four.
Aye.
Motion has four up.
Thank you.
And again, thank you for that update. That's what we need, that information.
Thank you.
All right, and we've already covered 12 through 15, so that will move us to 16, which is a closed meeting held pursuant to Texas Government Code 551.074 to deliberate the appointment of a new county judge to fill the vacancy left by the resignation of County Judge Dean T. Crooks. Myself as president.
I would ask that the courtroom be clear, save and except for myself, Lori Ardwin, and with recording.
All right, we'll call this back in session at 3:09. So, item 17, return to open meeting, taking any action deemed necessary based upon deliberation in closed meeting. Action by the court may include appointment of a replacement for the county judge position until December 31st, 2020, whereas the newly elected county judge will take office on or about January 2021, if they so choose to run at that point.
Okay. Carl Thibodeau to fulfill the remainder of this term until
December 2020.
Is there a Motion?
Second.
Second by two. Any more discussion? All right. Commissioner one.
Aye.
Commissioner two.
Aye.
Commissioner three.
Aye.
Commissioner four.
Aye.
Motion passes 4-0. All right, so. And I'm sure, Mr. Thibodeau, that at some point you will be getting with Lori, and if you would like to have any comments, well, now would be your time.
He's always
got it. That's right.
I told you you were going to be it.
Well, I'm glad he knew. I'm glad he knew, yeah. That could have saved us the 30 minutes.
I got to go work there. I ain't
better. Self-appointed advisor. 20 years.
I'm going to be back in here again.
I'll be right here with you. Now, hey, guys, I want to thank y'all very much for having the confidence in me. I know y'all have had some issues and some trying times, and I know the public a lot of times doesn't appreciate the job y'all do. I know I've sat on the other side of the bench, and y'all deserve a commendation every day because of what you're doing. A lot of people, it's easy to criticize, but they don't want to step up and sit in a big chair, is what I call it. I know it's going to seem funny that when I left here 4 years ago, I was the last Democratic county judge to sit in that chair. I never changed parties under the pressures that were put on me, because I don't change parties just for personal gain, for something that I may want that I'm afraid I won't get if I'm still where I'm at. Right now, I want to make everybody understand that these individuals did not appoint a Republican or a Democratic county judge to fill the empty spot. They appointed someone that is truly in love with Orange County, that will put 110% into everything we do here to keep the county moving forward. I want to be part of the group that keeps the county going. It's a job for me. I work hard. I apply everything I have into it. And I feel like that's why I got the appointment. In regards to party affiliations, I really have none. That's over with. If I want to be in the Republican, I'll go join the Republican Party. Right now, my wife and I have talked about it. Maybe this would be a good time to do it. I don't know. But with all the phone calls I received in regards to it, these individuals, I feel like, appointed me because they felt like I could help the county. And I truly, truly thankful for it, and I'm humbled that it's happened, and I promise you I'll do the best I can to help you guys get over the hump and get things done. You've got some issues coming up that need to be addressed. Yes. And to make everybody at ease, I am tax abatement friendly. So we're going to say that right off the bat. We'll get that over with. You don't need to question me on my stance on it. The press, the TVs, everything. Yes, I am tax abatement friendly. That's a purpose for them, and they're needed in Orange County. 20 years I fought Louisiana. We're still fighting. The state of Texas has finally got off dead center. The legislature has given us some tools to work with. Take advantage of them and use them. Let's don't put them on the shelf and let them get rusty. But once again, I thank y'all for giving me the opportunity. I'll do the best I can. Thank y'all very much.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Well, appreciate it. All right, moving right along. All right, item 18, closed meeting, held pursuant to Texas Government Code 551.074 to deliberate the appointment of a new constable to fill the vacancy left by the resignation of Constable Precinct 1, Chris Humble. Mr. Trey Hand, this was your agenda item.
Closed session?
Yeah.
Closed.
I would ask the courtroom be cleared and with a recording.
We will reconvene this back in at 3:31. Return to open meeting. Take any actions deemed necessary based upon deliberation in closed meeting. Action by the court may include appointment of a replacement for the Constable Precinct 1 position until December 31st, 2020, whereas the newly elected Constable Precinct 1 will take office on or about January 1st, 2021. All right. That's where we are.
Okay. I received many calls, texts, emails in support of the individual I'm fixing the name, and I think everybody is well aware of the job he's done. So
I'd like to nominate Lanny Claybar to fill the rest of this term, which will take effect on April 1st.
Second.
Okay.
Yeah. Motion and second. Any more discussion? Commissioner one.
Eight.
Two.
Aye.
Three. Aye. Four.
Aye.
Motion passes 4-0.
Welcome aboard, Lanny.
Welcome aboard, Lanny. All right. You have it. There's the microphone.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Commissioners. Good afternoon. I'd like to tell you how honored I am to take this appointment. I'd also like to take the opportunity to thank Sheriff Merritt from the Sheriff's Office. I'm very proud of my time at the Orange County Sheriff's Office, but I am humbled and grateful and proud to accept this appointment today. Thank you very, very much. I am a lifetime resident of the county, multi-generational resident of Orange and Orange County, and most of that in Precinct 1. So to say that I'm proud to be the newly appointed constable is a tremendous understatement. And so thank you very, very much again, and my intention is to do you even more proud than I can imagine. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'd just like to say one thing. Lanny Claybar is an officer and a gentleman.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. But again, as we do that, though, as we welcome someone new, we also let somebody else leave. And we would just like to publicly, Chris, thank you for your service as a constable and all you've done to serve this county in multiple capacities, I know. So thank you.
And thank you for your professionalism during this transition, Chris. It's been very good to us. We appreciate it.
One more.
Thank you all very much. I appreciate what y'all done.
All right.
I do.
Well, thank you.
It's been my pleasure.
Good to meet you.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, sir. Yeah, and we appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you.
I will be around him in any way I can.
We appreciate
that. Thank y'all again for everything.
All right, item 20. Discussion and possible action regarding adjourning Commissioners' Court meeting. Have a motion by four, second by one.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed 4-0. Court is adjourned.